Avi, it's great to see you. A bit of disclosure before we go too far on this, which is one of the reasons I know you, is I've got the pleasure of being one of your non-executive board directors for Provisico, and also delighted to have you working with us at Instec. Good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. And as you can tell, I am back from New York. Robin and I are over there. Tremendous event. It's just so great to see so many insurance underwriters and others turn up for these events. And a great thanks to Google for hosting it in their offices, Cytora, Hyper Exponential, Guidewire, and Kroll for their support. We are definitely going back, so look out for us in June. But another really interesting discussion with Visico about flood. As I mentioned, I do know the company quite well, but nonetheless, some really interesting things going on there, and it's great to have Zurich and Donaldson Timber talking about what they're doing, gives a really fresh perspective to it. Well, time for you to get out of the way and get back to Avi and introduce you to Alison and Mark. So we know each other quite well, and I also know that you are always out and about seeing clients at events or seeing your colleagues. So which of those variants are you at today?
Internally at headquarters in Loughborough.
Brilliant. The other place I didn't mention was the Lloyd's Lab, because of course you went through the Lloyd's Lab. Good. Well, let's just talk a little bit about Provisico, and then we're going to listen to some fascinating clients you've got. So I know you very well, but for those who don't know you, it'd be great to understand a little bit about the motivation for starting the business, which I think came out of a PhD project you did to Loughborough University.
So yes, it did indeed. So I'm Avi, I'm the co-founder and chief product officer here at Provisico. I co-founded the company together with my PhD supervisor at Loughborough University, who's Professor Yu. We were two academics at the university working on a project to provide a flood forecasting solution that could capture surface water. It had been a long-running research project that had been going on for about 20 years and was being kind of piloted by the Cabinet Office, which is central government's emergency response portal. And we realized that we developed a very good technology and it had wide-reaching applications and it filled a major gap. And so we decided to form the company together and came up with a mission, which was to minimize the impact of flooding globally. And we've used that to kind of then guide where we go next, which was to start really growing and focusing on providing an early warning system that can capture the sorts of events that catch people off guard and to give them the insight that they need to get out on site and prepare, act, and then prevent flood impacts. So be more proactive. What started off as a research project has grown quite a lot. So initially just using software, but also now using a whole range of different technologies, including sensors on site. And we provide all this technology to a wide range of different customers from construction, energy, real estate, housing, and local authorities to help them be more proactive. We also partner with insurers because when we are helping organizations reduce overall risk, that becomes a win-win also for the insurance industry. And that's where we initially met you about 5 years ago and realized that we had a huge opportunity to grow into the insurance space to provide risk prevention services to a range of different insureds.
Well, I'm very glad I was part of that realization, and I now can take some credit for all the great success you've done. But let's crack on. And we're going to hear from Mark Murphy and Alison Whittington, two really interesting clients. So on with the show. So most people be aware of Zurich, large global insurance company. I know you've been working with them for a while, but what was the sort of origins of working with Zurich?
So we met a few of their global team, both in the US and the UK, and it was at a time where we'd just spun out and were kind of starting to scale up and optimize the flood forecasting technology across the UK. And we had one of their customers in particular who was really keen to start using the service, and that was BT. And so that was our first mutual customer, where they helped sponsor a project with BT, and one thing led to another. Other customers then were able to then sign up and get onboarded, and we really took it from there. And what we have is an opportunity to help a whole range of different organizations And so what started off as just, you know, British Telecom then expanded into the housing sector too. It turned out that we were also working with a few of their other housing sector clients as well as local authorities. And so in particular, given Zurich, a huge emphasis for Zurich is all about loss prevention. It's all about growing their flood resilience. So they've got their flood resilience solutions out there as a service that they provide to their customers. And so we were really well aligned in that sense. They had a great team who were really keen to expand and grow that proposition, particularly given that, especially in the public sector, the total cost of risk of flooding is very high. And for those responding to floods and kind of managing it on a day-to-day basis, insurance on its own is part of the solution, but there's a whole set of activities that you need to do to reduce overall risk. And that's where we were able to really partner up with them to provide a really effective solution
and
together.
For me, what is really powerful about what you're doing is you've got those two groups of clients, essentially. You've got the insurance companies who want to help their clients through risk prevention and understanding their exposure better, but you're also working directly with the original clients that have actually got the physical assets on the ground that have got the exposure to the loss. So let's find out what Alison is doing and a little bit more about Zurich Municipal.
I'm head of housing for Zurich Municipal. That means that my responsibility is for anything related to social housing with registered social providers, and their insurance and their risk management is my responsibility, whether it's from the underwriting of the cases through to the claims performance to how we present ourselves to market. But also a really important part of that is understanding the challenges that the sector face and how we can support the sector from an insurance and risk perspective. I see this role as very much a partnership piece with one foot in the public sector and one foot in the private sector. Zurich Municipal as a whole is a really important part of Zurich in the UK. Zurich's a global insurer, but Zurich Municipal is very much focused on the public sector. We insure education establishments, local authorities, charities and housing associations are our main focus areas. And it's about tailoring the insurance and risk support we provide to the specific needs of those organisations. Some of the biggest universities in the country, right the way down to really small social housing providers with 3 or 4 homes, or really small charities. They're a really important part of our business as well. But the interesting thing is the variety that you get within an organisation.
And how much of a problem has flood been for you in the past?
It changes year on year on year as the weather changes, of course. But let's not underestimate the tens and tens and tens of millions that are spent on flood instances across the country, whether it's from insured losses, from uninsured losses, or operational losses. I think if we just look at how much it costs an insurance industry, we're seeing a fraction of the total cost, not just in money pound terms, but also in that emotional human cost as well.
And I know a big part of the way that Zurich likes to support its customers is a combination of helping with the risk mitigation as well as wanting to understand what the actual risk profile is. How do you help the customers reduce the impact of the flood losses?
So let me talk about it in 3 different pots. So first of all, we will help our customers understand their flood exposure. Of course, being an insurance company, we will look at an organization's footprint and how they are likely to be impacted from flood events over various time frames. So are they low risk, high risk, extreme risk? And of course, that then affects how the terms that are presented to a customer. But actually, we can also use that information to help them understand their flood risk so they can put in mitigating actions, whether they're reactive or proactive. Just that fundamental piece of saying, do you realise that new estate you're about to build, this is the likelihood of it flooding, is really important. Some organisations are on top of that already, some of them aren't. So that's the first bit for me. The second, we do have a specific flood resilience offering within our risk team. They can take it up one step further from saying, this is your profile, so here are some proactive steps that we suggest that you might want to take. But then thirdly, the most important and the most recent for me is Provisico, where we've introduced the service for all of our customers at no additional cost, where we will provide Provisico with the customer's permission, of course. We'll provide Provisico with the location of all the stock that they have and all the homes that they look after. Provisico will put it on their systems and then do those proactive alerts to tell customers, it is likely at this point of the day, this property could see floodwaters to this depth for this period of time. And that has really enabled our customers to take very targeted, specific, proactive approaches to flood.
So I'm just going to jump in there about Avi, and we'll come back to Alison in a minute. But one of the things Alison's referring to here is this, you know, the broader impact of flood and a little bit about what you're offering. So can you just talk a little bit about, as you think about how you provide your customers, what are you doing around this area around sort of risk mitigation and, you know, the broader piece beyond just measuring the loss itself or from an insurance perspective?
Yes, of course. So there's a lot we can all do to reduce the impact of flooding, both ourselves personally, but then across organizations. The first thing that you should really do is to find out what your overall risk is. In the UK, you can always go on the government website to check your local property to see if it's in a flood risk zone. Most countries have their own flood risk maps out there too. So there's a lot of really good insight out there, and it's so important firstly to understand what your overall risk is. Once you then understand your risk, then there's a lot of activities you can then do to reduce that. So you can invest in flood defences, you can invest in improved drainage systems, and set up a flood action plan so you know what to do if you're expecting flood. The most important part of all of that, and often people describe it as the final piece of the puzzle, is to then have an early warning system so that you can then understand when you need to then take those actions. So if you need to set up your flood defences, if you need to protect your stock, if you need to send a maintenance team out to make sure that your assets are safe and are well protected during a flood, that all requires preparation. And so before a flood, every minute matters. The challenge is that government warnings, while they're really effective, they only tend to exist for large river systems and coastal flooding, which leaves the vast majority of people without property level flood forecasts. And so surface water, smaller rivers, can't block drains. Those drive so many really severe impacts across the country that often catches people off guard. And that's particularly where we then were able to fill that gap and work collaboratively to provide those kind of early warnings to customers.
Well, thanks. So I'm going to go back to Alison now, because I asked her sort of question on those lines about how does she help their customers reduce the impact of flooding? And this is basically what she said. Sometimes it's the challenges for an insurance company is that they've got that ability to offer this, but having the customer then to access it and use it is another step. So how, in practice, how do you work with your customers then?
It's very much tailored customer by customer. So the access to the alerts goes to specific customer-related email addresses, telephone texts. It's quick and it's efficient. So it goes straight from Provisico to the customer. We have seen some customers who have got such slick operations that message has then been routed through to maintenance teams and proactive, and they're on it, and it works really, really well. As an insurance company, we cannot support with telling people how to work their operations, but what we can do is very much support them in making the case to get the voice heard throughout their organisation. So there is a view that insurance is there to pay for flood claims. Of course it is. That's the right view. That's what insurance is there for. It's there to pay the claims that are covered under the policy. But if you think about it, there's always a level of excess there. If an organisation has a £10,000 deductible for their properties and 10 properties get flooded, that's £100,000 at the cost of that organisation. So yes, of course, everything above that £10,000 deductible would be covered under insurance. But by putting some really effective, proactive defences in, that £100,000 for that £10,000 deductible over 10 homes is an unavoidable cost should those properties flood.
And then, Ali, is there anything else you want to add to those comments Alison's made there about how they're helping their customers get alerts and some of the other aspects you just covered?
So a major challenge for especially larger organizations is that when it comes to flooding, there's a whole range of different people who respond and who are involved in building resilience all at different stages. You have your site managers, you've got your maintenance teams, you've got health and safety officers and facilities managers. And with all of those operating on the front line, sometimes there comes the connection between what those organizations and stakeholders are doing is quite far away from actually what the insurance buyer is also then working on. And fortunately, what you often have is a situation where actually the insurance manager never needs to know too much about kind of some of those day-to-day incidents that are occurring on the ground. And the challenge is certainly that there's so much that expertise and insight that insurers can provide to help the customer reduce overall risk. And so sometimes the challenge can be getting those solutions from the insurer to the people who then can use them operationally on the ground. The brilliant thing about Zurich is they've got a whole team of risk consultants that support their customers very closely. And so what we've been doing is working very collaboratively with them, introducing the service, identifying the right teams who actually respond to flooding, and making sure that the technology is in their hands so that they can then use the service operationally. And I think without that really vital relationship, it can sometimes be a challenge. So Zurich's been able to do that really effectively.
And then I basically asked Alison a question about how did she come across Proviso?
It was very much through our resilience solutions part of our organization that Proviso came in. And that is a really great entrance to the organization because it's all about risk mitigation. What that also enables is those, when we're talking about those flood prevention programs, that gets weaved in there, and Proviso's sensors as well. That's a great home for it to come in. But actually, when it comes to people who are talking to the customers every day, really regularly, understand what they need within Zurich Municipal, because we are direct from the insurance company to the insured, we don't go through any intermediaries, we've got those ongoing conversations. So to be able to talk to Proviso with a, this is the difference it could mean for our organisations, and understanding the pivotal role they play in society, for me, it was an absolute no-brainer. It's really difficult to prove the absence of something happening. But just by taking some logic of some flood numbers, saying even a 5% saving in flood costs, we could quite easily see that the cost of paying for the Proviso service was pretty clear.
I guess there's also the branding side of it, which shouldn't be the only reason for it, but it's just part of that, I guess, where we started the overall Zurich approach of wanting to look after your customers, and that itself has got value.
Yeah, it's a really important support to our overall sort of strapline and our mission, building resilient communities. And that's what we're here for. That's what we aim for with our customers the whole time. So that resilience, what better way to build resilience than support people to understand their flood exposure, not create a greater flood exposure, but also mitigate it as well. The other thing I will pop in there as well is about 2 years ago, we introduced a support process for people who were going through flood experiences or other claims. So each of our claimants as an individual, not necessarily as an organisation, but an individual, so the people who live in the homes that are flooded, have access to support services such as counselling, etc. Because we have seen a real increase in people reporting mental health issues should their homes go through some sort of traumatic event, whether it be flood or fire or big escape of water process. So that comes back to that human element as well, and that resilience, community resilience.
Yeah, they're really important. And then do you yourself get access to the dashboards? You can look and see where your own clients are sort of maybe at risk. And because you mentioned Christmas and then various floods have occurred. And I mean, they all seem to happen at the weekend at night or on holidays.
We do. We have our own way of recording where all the properties that we insure, where they sit across the country. What we're able to do is then as events occur and the floods and the storms, etc., earlier this year and earlier into Christmas, we're able to reach out to our customers straight away, proactively, contact them with what's going on, what support you need from us, and actually accelerating the reporting of claims to make sure that they're getting the support they need. Anything that we can do to mitigate the costs early helps everybody, but also we then get a lot more certainty early on as to what sort of impact a flood or storm event is having on us. For me, that is a mindset change that we maybe didn't have 18 months ago. We would wait for our customers to contact us to say, this is what has happened. Apart from if we saw very specific events that we could say that has impacted one customer. But changing the mindset to early identification of claims, which we really did this year in anger. Actually, that's the wrong phrase, anger. With focus, that's the right phrase.
Is there anything you haven't talked about that you'd like to add on?
Looking to the future, we are going to see more severe weather events happening more frequently. We've already seen evidence that that's going to happen, or it is happening, and we're going to see that accelerate. At the same time, we're taking steps to change how we interact with the environment, net zero carbon, etc., much more mindful as to how we do things. I'm not convinced that we think this through all the way. So should a brick and block built property suffer a flood event, you can dry it out. Should some of the more creative ways of building properties that are coming in now suffer a flood event, some of the materials being used do not have the resilience to continue to be used after they've been soaked in flood water for a week or 2 days or whatever. So how are we marrying the future between that inbuilt resilience into our properties while adapting to future climate change? And I'll accept brick and block is not a net neutral, net zero way of building, but actually some of the solutions that are carbon neutral or are more sustainable will suffer more with those sorts of events. Mario Greco, our global CEO, has made a very clear commitment that the whole of Zurich, we want to be one of the most sustainable and responsible companies on the planet. So that is writ large, it's a real focus. Bring it down to small individual specifics. What does sustainability really mean? Is a property really sustainable if it's built somewhere that will flood every 10 years and it needs to be rebuilt every 20 because it's a material that will suffer? Or in those situations, is it more sustainable to build something that maybe doesn't have the same carbon neutral materials, but then will not need to be rebuilt as many times, will not flood, etc.? So I don't have all the answers, but I do have lots of questions that I like to ask people who may have the answers.
Well, Alison, I can see there's a whole another discussion we could have on that topic, and it'd be great to get you on stage as well at some point, because we're doing more and more with other risk managers as well. It's such a fascinating area to get involved with.
Thank you.
Xavier, I find that really fascinating from Alison. It's just great to find somebody who's got so much passion across so many different areas and a real supporter on that. But of course, that's not always the case, is it? Sometimes you get the senior management or the decision makers will say, we need to work with the technology, and it's not just a proviso issue, but the people on the ground, you have to go and do the work, deploy it, keep it going, don't necessarily always understand or buy into that. I mean, particularly for you, where you've got large insurance companies that have, in many cases, got the ability to offer this to their clients, how do you bring that to life for the people that ultimately you rely on to deploy, whether it's the data, the outcome, or the sensors within your clients or your clients' clients?
I think the thing that binds us all together is we're all in the same team trying to reduce the impact of flooding, because the people on the front line, the insurance company, the insurance buyer, the broker, everyone wants the same thing, which is for unnecessary flood impacts to be prevented. So what we have is a very large group of very passionate people on the coalface using early warnings to respond to flooding, which works so well, and they then use it operationally, prevent flood impacts, and there's a lot of evidence on that on the ground. And I think certainly one challenge is how to then tell that story and to elevate that back up to help the wider senior management team inside the organization, and then how to then present that to the insurer and how the insurer can then use that in their wider decision making. And there's a few steps and there's a lot of translation that needs to be done. How an underwriter looks at a flood event can be very different to how operations manager does. But it is so important for these very different types of stakeholders to increasingly speak the same language, because what underwriters really want to see, especially in the larger specialty and complex risks, is they want to understand how is the risk being managed and prevented. And you need to really speak the same language as the people are then on that front line. Otherwise, you're missing out on such vital opportunities on the insurance side to improve your underwriting. And on the customer side, actually to have a far better insurance relationship and get the right solution for your organization. So I think certainly this is where across the industry, there's some really good case studies and examples of where loss prevention has been used and applied effectively, and that story has been able to be told across the organization. But those sorts of stories are happening day in, day out, and they don't get shared enough. What I think the industry certainly needs is far more guidance and standards on, well, how to better tell your story. It is very much an art form. There's so much opportunity to elevate those stories way more than they are currently being elevated.
So, Avi, we're going to talk about stories. We're going to hear from Mark Murphy next at Donaldson Timber. This is a really interesting example of an organization, from my mind anyway, that has got some real assets at risk. They're a construction company focused around timber. They've got close to 50 sites, mill timber, they've got roof trusses, they've got all sorts of construction material around there.
We've got one site that's particularly flood risk. So the medium risk, 1 in 200 year event, where all the environmental changes that are going on, that 1 in 200 year event is now becoming much more frequently. So while the other sites within the group might be exposed to some surface water flooding, the one site has a river and a sea that connect. So we've got some river that could flood that site. We took about 250 readings across the site to determine the height against sea level so that we could actually see and then flood map out and predict where the worst case scenario flooding would be, what would it affect. And then it made us go in and look at things like the worst case flooding is going to be 100 millimetres. Can we take the electric boxes and put them 200 millimetres off the floor? Or the bottom rack is 300 millimetres off the floor. But if we had a product that needed to be protected, we know that we can move that to another part of the shed. So we put a flood risk plan in place. It was developed on mobile phone as a first response app. If something was going to happen, it's never going to happen when you're sitting at your desk. It's going to happen on Friday night at 10:30, and you need people to be able to know what to do and how to do it. So we built it as a mobile app. We've got £1 million worth of timber stock. There's a limit on how much of that we'd be able to move. Just being able to take the forklift trucks and drive them to the highest point in the yard or into our neighbour's premises. There's 20 forklift trucks at, let's just say for easy counting, at £100,000. You've just suddenly saved a whole lot of things that potentially could have been a risk. And it allows you to get that access equipment back and get the site running as quickly as possible. One of the things that we've worked with is Provisical to see what kind of flood forecasting that we could get, how much notice could we get so that we could actually take that action. Their software's fantastic in that it can give us up to 48 hours. The further out you go, the more variables and changes that there might be, but being able to get even 6 hours notice that there's going to be a flood in your area just allows you to put plans in place and make things happen quicker. We've put 3 sensors in, one almost level with the offices, one about 500 metres closer to the sea, and the other one's further upriver, so that we can actually know what the normal tidal position is, but we can see how that impacts through the sensors and being able to see what the river level is at our stretch. We're at the site, the water runs round 3 sides, so being able to see what's coming down the river and being able to see what's coming in from the sea, we're able to then match and be able to forecast and be able to see where, that if there is going to be a breach on our property, where it would come, and then we can take actions.
And then what about insurers or your brokers? Are they taking interest in this?
From our point of view as a business, it's about how can we protect the assets? How can we make sure that things continue to run and we can satisfy customers? From an insurer's point of view, they want the same thing. The insurers are like, if you're putting all these things in place, you're helping us to manage the risk. So the chances of you putting in a claim are lower because we've taken all of these actions. And the actions weren't put in for the insurer's benefit. It was to protect the business and protect customers and make sure we can do all those things. The added value was the fact that the insurers went, that's an improvement from a risk point. Let's have a look at your premiums. So it's went hand in hand. Good risk management delivers results and from both parties.
Avi, I really enjoyed hearing from Mark. It's a great example of hearing stories. Can you tell me a little bit about why you invited him to tell us what he's been doing with you?
So Mark, like quite a few risk managers, are really passionate about what they do. There's a lot on their plate, and it's so helpful to hear what they care about, how they go about their day-to-day. So a chief risk officer, yes, they buy insurance, but they are doing so much more across the board to understand and manage their risk. And It's really useful, especially with lots of the time we hear about ways of improving the customer experience. It's so helpful to then hear, well, this is what the customer does and wants to do more of. And so there is a lot of different risk managers across the board that we work with in construction, in real estate, in the water sector, and energy and power. There's just a whole common theme, which is they've got a lot on their plates. It's both a huge challenge and very exciting at the same time. With new technologies appearing and being available to them, they're really eager to get on the front foot, to manage their risk really proactively. And it's, I think, really helpful whenever we're talking about risk management and risk prevention from the insurance lens to keep a very close pulse on what the customer wants. And so certainly from ourselves, our solution is only valuable because the end user is using it operationally. If they don't use it, we don't have an insurance proposition. So it's so important for ourselves to both be working very closely with the insurer to understand how we can help improve their overall proposition. But when it comes to that risk manager and the chief risk officer, to ensure that they've got everything that they need to make their life easier, because they do have a very challenging role.
So Avi, Mark's clearly had a good experience with his insurers and his brokers. What are you hearing from your other clients about how they're getting on with their insurers and their brokers when they show them what they've been doing with sensors and early warnings and other things they're doing to mitigate risk? Is that what he's doing very typical?
I think Mark is really good at telling his story and being proactive and making sure that the technology is being used operationally. I think that's certainly not a typical story. There's a lot like it. So we work with over 200 organizations, both in the UK, the US, and across Europe. And certainly when it gets in the hands of risk managers like Mark, it's able to be used really effectively. How they then tell that story, it's certainly something that Mark's been really good at, and certainly others could do with a lot of help. How it affects the insurance side of the business, it's all about how you tell your story, how you're able to communicate what you've done to reduce your overall risk. There's a lot that the brokers can do, there's a lot the insurers can do, and certainly I think this is, as we get into far more volatile weather events and changing risks across the board, it's so important to help those risk managers in every possible way, both manage their risk, but then also tell their story, because you as underwriters want to better understand what it is that they are really focusing on and what it is that they're doing to manage that risk. And sometimes they need help to be able to understand what you want to see.
Well, thanks, Avi. And then Mark went on to talk about what they're doing on the other side. So he's talked about his one specific side that's got all sorts of different kind of flood risk, but they've also got a load of other sites. And we're going to hear in a minute about what they were doing with the alerts you're sending them. But just from a practical point of view, so for people who are working with you, how do they get the alerts for a forthcoming flash flood or the sensors if a sensor start to detect increased flow rates they need to pay attention to?
So we have our Flood Intel platform, which has a dashboard where you can view all of your assets, what the kind of overall risk is, and where the risks are looking to then change in the next 2 days. So there's all of the kind of government warnings are on there, as well as the localized surface water flood forecasts that we provide. We then also have our own sensors that then also feed into that. So you can see it all on the dashboard at the same time. And what we then provide to the customer is email notifications when new risks emerge to their properties. And so those are delivered continuously. All of that data is also on an API. So that's where other insurers, for example, Liberty Specialty Markets, ingest our API and deliver it to their customers through their risk reduce portal. So certainly there is a number of different ways to actually deliver the insights to the customer, either kind of email, dashboard, or via API.
Good. Well, just go back to Mark, find out what he did. And what about the other sites for you elsewhere?
That's one of the reasons we identified Provisico, and is the fact that they can predict flash floods. What we've done, we started with the Leven site because it was a known flood risk, but we've now registered the other 48 locations so that we can get that advance warning if there's any potential flash flooding. So again, it's just getting that information quickly. You can alert local teams to go out and take some fairly small actions usually, but it just saves you a whole lot of hassle and cleanup factors and that afterwards.
And then how did you come across Peruzico in the first place?
I had a consultant working with me, and he had come across Peruzico. We were chatting about the flood, and he actually said, "Have you seen this company?" It was just one of those things that was like, I can see so many benefits of getting this information quickly that I can put plans in place. So had a call with Avi, and the rest is history. I found them brilliant.
So, Avi, it was a real pleasure talking to those two, and thank you to Alison and to Mark for taking the time to do that. People are busy these days. It's just really great to hear the sort of real life stories, as you said. So, I mean, for me, I'd say one of the reasons that I feel Peruzico is so well known is most people can relate to this problem. It's like, you've got a flood coming, you want to be able to forecast it. If you take action, you reduce the risk. And I feel sometimes, yeah, some solutions are too complicated. So, yeah, congratulations, because in a sense, you've still got a lot of sophistication in the modeling, but actually, in terms of the solution, it's pretty black and white, as we've heard. For people that want to know more, what's the best way to learn more about Peruzico or contact you directly?
So you can check out our website, peruzico.com, and also you add me on LinkedIn, Avi Buruk. You can also find me at any InStick event. I'm pretty much always there.
You are always there. Every event I go to, Avi, you're at that event, which says something about one of us. But no, you're definitely out and about. And this is such a sort of personal world, the world of insurance. So you're well done doing that. And of course, we'll put a link in the episode notes as well, so anybody can find you. But no, look, many thanks. And again, thanks for the introductions to Mark and Alison. It's really good to catch up just outside of our normal interactions.
Thank you.
Well, really fascinating. I mean, these worlds of increasing climate change, we're going to be seeing more perils, more losses from things like flood. Now, if you are interested in what we're doing at InStick, and if you are building a product, or if you are an insurer wondering who you should be talking to or what on earth is going on in the world these days, then please do connect with us and find out how we can help you. If you are interested in getting your story out to the world, you may be interested in our membership, or if you are an insurer, we can also help you with that and invite you along to all the events we are running these days around the world now. www.instec.co. That's got everything you need to know. But of course, you can also contact us directly, Matthew Grant or Robin Mertens on LinkedIn, or any of us, hello@instec.co. That's it. We're done.